Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, July 24th, 2023. Shout out to my favorite eldest niece, Addison Galloy, who had her big 21st birthday up there in Eau Claire over the weekend.
Wow, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Addison. And by all accounts, you know, she had a beverage or two, but controlled herself, so that's good. And I talked to her on her birthday, and I think she was most annoyed that she went out at midnight on her birthday and went to a bar, a couple of friends, I think, and she was annoyed because she did not get carded.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have had that.
Right. Illegal and think, hey, I can show my ID, I'm legal. But no, they said, come on in, no worries.
Yeah, I had that happen. I know when I was first 21, I didn't get carded because, you know, I have a beard. It makes me look older, yes. Especially because my beard has some gray hairs in it. None on my head, but plenty in my beard, which is interesting.
Right.
But then I started getting carded later on, and I'm like, I look older now. I'm like 23. Why am I now getting carded?
Yeah, right. Well, congratulations and happy birthday to my lovely niece, Addison Galloy, her 21st up there in up in Eau Claire. And, of course, now they can hear us on WCFW, The Tap, up in Eau Claire. Great news station to the Civic Media lineup on 93.5 FM, The Tap, on WCFW in Eau Claire. Coming up this hour at 2:15, Phil Nee of WRCO, host of Those Were the Days, 6 until midnight on Saturdays via the Civic Media app, is going to be in talking about living in Barbie's hometown, or supposed hometown, of Willow, Wisconsin. And then at the bottom of the hour at 2:30, Sarah D. Bunting, joining us live from New York. She's known online as SARS. She is a blogger, a journalist, co-founder of Television Without Pity, and also a writer and founder of Tomato Nation website, and much, much more. Sarah D. Bunting at the bottom of the hour. So big hour coming up. We have Milwaukee Brewer baseball tickets as well. Joe in Madison, you had called in earlier over the break, giving you just a couple of seconds or not. Well, more than a couple of seconds. But Joe, what did you want to say to the listeners? Go ahead.
I just wanted to return to this issue of the change in the curriculum in Florida, where middle school teachers are now required by the state to teach during their segments on slavery that some slaves received personal benefit from slavery. So that's presuming blacksmiths, I guess, that
sure.
Sort of thing. But as Mark has pointed out, it just made them more valuable property to the slave owners. But I just wanted to have a rejoinder to CJ. He kept commenting that this is just one line in this bill. It's one line, but it's one line that every teacher in middle school in Florida is now required to teach.
Right.
Every single teacher. It's not, this would be fun, this would be interesting. They are required to teach it. And I would just also add that of the 16 examples they had of African Americans who supposedly gained benefit from slavery, half of them weren't enslaved. So I mm-hmm. think that there's some big holes in the research of the people that were doing this work, and the thought that anybody would be required to teach this egregious, horrible idea you said it best. It's sick. It's just absolutely sick, and yeah. Shouldn't be countenanced at all. There should be no excuses for this. It's wrong, and it's sick. Thanks a lot.
Joe, really appreciate your voice from Madison here on WMDX in Madison. Joe, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining and calling in. I want to take a moment before the break to remember someone that I did not know personally, but had a great influence on radio in Wisconsin. Thomas W. Tom Tuber, age 76, passed away on Thursday here at a Grace Hospice in Fitchburg. Tom was started his life in Chicago, spent his youth in Milwaukee, developed an interest in radio. And after college, at Elmhurst College, he started his radio career at the same station that I did, in Richland Center, WRCO. And Tom Tubert did a stint as a reporter at the Herald News in Joliet, Illinois, worked at a lot of stations in Rochester, New York, and Buffalo, and Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, came back and bought WMAD, programmed it to a progressive format. Incidentally, the precursor to the station we're at now. And then Tom eventually left WMAD for Columbus, then ended up coming back to Madison, was the music director at 105.5 Triple M here in Madison, promoted to program director, and then perhaps one of his best legacies, his final project, was getting the Monona community radio station WVMO on the air and continued there as program director until his retirement in 2018. Thomas W. Tom Tuber, who passed away last week, way too early, at age 76 here in Dane County. I think it's important, Mr. Zomeris, to take a moment to just remember folks who were pioneers in this industry and had such a positive impact on radio across Wisconsin and across the country.
Absolutely.
He's be remembered. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Thomas W. Tom Tuber. Really a great, influential guy. And again, you know, he went on to do a lot bigger things than I will probably ever do. But it's kind of cool that we both got our start at WRCO in Richland Center. Speaking of that, another friend and colleague from RCO, Phil Nee, who is very much alive, will join us after the break. Be talking a little bit about Barbie, also Tony Bennett, and more. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. This is Tom Paul's show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Was distracted. I'm getting ready because we're getting ready to give away some Milwaukee Brewers baseball tickets. And I get very excited because these are not your run-of-the-mill baseball tickets, you understand? These are club-level seats. I have been there. I have sat in the very seats that we're about to give away. And if you ever watch the Brewers on TV and you look up and you see the skyboxes, and then you see those seats just below the skyboxes, and you think, well, how the heck do I sit there? Well, they're kind of pricey, number one. Not a ticket that Toddy would buy normally on his own. But through the partnership with Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network and our two flagship stations, WRCE in Richland Center, News from the Center, and WISS, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, our two Brewer flagship stations. That is the magic that we can bring you these Milwaukee Brewer baseball tickets. And by the way, we're about to bring Phil Nee on. I'm going to text him live on the air. But if you're listening, Phil, call us, because apparently the gremlins are in the phone lines here. So this is for Phil Nee only. Going out to the entire state of Wisconsin. 844-967-2789, calling Phil Nee. I feel like this is an episode of Bewitched when Samantha would say, calling Dr. Bombay, calling Dr. Bombay. We're calling Phil Nee. 844-967-2789, calling Phil Nee. So that number is going out to Phil only. I'll also attempt to text Phil right here on a little cell phone. But we're going to give away these Milwaukee Brewers tickets here for you. Let's do that first. Here's the deal. I have Milwaukee Brewers baseball tickets. And if you can answer this question, we will give you four tickets for Wednesday's game at 1:10. So you have to be either a retired person or willing to play hooky from work on Wednesday. We have four tickets. The Brewers taking on their foe in the Central Division of the National League, the Cincinnati Reds. The Brewers are only a half game ahead. If you can answer this question, you will be on your way with three of your friends or family or whoever to go to the game on Wednesday. Here's the question. Name me one of the major stars in the new Barbie movie that opened this weekend. Name me one of the major stars in the Barbie movie that came out this weekend. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. If you could give us one of the major stars who came, who were starring in this new Barbie movie over the weekend, you will get 4 tickets to Wednesday's game. 844-967-2789. Always appreciate you joining us and being here. Let's go to the lines and see what we got here. Dave in Richland Center. Dave, we appreciate you listening and calling in. What say you? Have you seen the Barbie movie yet?
Nope. My daughter has.
Oh, fantastic.
She dressed up in pink and everything.
Oh, that's great. Give us one of the stars.
Ryan Gosling.
Bingo! You got it. Ryan Gosling. That is absolutely correct. He plays Ken in the new Barbie movie. So now, did your daughter go alone or with friends or with family? How'd she go?
Big group.
Big group. Now, did she give...
They all dressed up.
Did she give Dad a review of the movie? What did she think of it?
He said it was excellent.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, can you go to the game on Wednesday at 1:10?
Yep.
All right, that's fantastic. Stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. Mr. Aaron Zommers is going to get your name and your email and your phone number because we have to email you the tickets. They're electronic. Enjoy that game. Are you listening to us on WRCE or on the app?
Yes, WRCE.
That is fan-dang-tastic. My home station up there in Richland Center, that's great. Dave, Richland Center, hold the line and... Mr. Zommers will be with
you. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for listening. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you so very much. All right, there you go. Dave Virtual Center, he is going to the Brewers game on Wednesday. And this is fantastic. So here's what's happening. Apparently now, there are gremlins in our system. And we're trying to... So here's the deal. Dave from Richland Center can call us and get Barbie tickets, but we can't get a hold of Phil Nee at our very own company in Richland Center. So I'm trying... On live radio across the state of Wisconsin, I am now trying to communicate via my cell phone, and we'll see if we can get Phil on the air. All right? I'm texting him the number. You all know it, of course, the number each and every day. But Phil doesn't call us because he works for us. 844-967-2789. And we're seeing if we can make a connection with Phil Nee in Richland Center. He may be very busy because he grew up, or at least he spent many years in Barbie's hometown of Willow, Wisconsin. He may be doing other national media. I don't know. Trying to get a hold of Barbie. We're trying to establish contact with one of our own employees. This is fantastic. We're going to talk to somebody from New York at the bottom of the hour, but can we get a hold of a... This would be a great Letterman segment. Can you get a hold of a guy in Richland Center? Can a radio station in Madison get a hold of a guy in Richland Center? We'll see. Maybe you can't. And I even have pink note cards for this hour, just in honor of Barbie. Mr. Zommers went and saw the movie. It like $155 million. Can you believe this? They're calling it Barbieheimer because you got the Barbie movie, and then you've got Oppenheimer, all about the creation of the nuclear bomb. And together, it was a big weekend at the movies. I read an article over there, I think this morning, saying one of the reasons this is so big is because it wasn't a sequel, right? It wasn't like a Marvel's 10 or Mission Impossible 7. It was an original movie, both Barbie and Oppenheimer. So that's part of the reason that that's been so big. Let's go to the control room now. This is absolutely fascinating radio. Mr. Zommers, have we made contact with Phil Nee?
Nope.
That's a way to stretch out a segment right there. Have we made contact with Phil? No. I can see on the... I'm not sure what has happened.
Well, yeah, I'm still trying to reach out. I'll give the phone line another shot in a second here.
All right,
but
let's
also
let's try. Yeah, go ahead.
I could provide my review of the Barbie
why
movie.
Why don't you provide your review? And while you're providing the review, I'm going to attempt to call Phil Nee live on the air. We won't. Here, let's just see if this works. Can you hear the phone ringing if I put it on speakerphone?
Yeah, we can hear it.
All right, that's fantastic. Let's see how. Here's real technology. Here's RCO 1987 technology. A cell phone up to a microphone. We're calling Phil Nee's private cell phone. We are not providing the number because he has a lot of fans out there in Willow Township, by the way. No, nobody yet. We had. Oh,
hello, Phil Nee.
Okay, so something's going on at his end.
All right, it could maybe the phone lines are down in Richland Center. Did you ever think
maybe,
about that?
Maybe.
Let's do this. One more try here. I'm going to call my old station.
Or Luke Mather says maybe Barbie took him out.
Let's see if we get a hold. Maybe RCO has gone on strike along with the UPS people. Oh, here we have somebody.
RCO, it's Phil.
Phil Nee, this is Todd Allball. You are live on the air through the magic of U.S. Cellular and a microphone. Here's the deal. We cannot get a hold of any. We can't call out, apparently, to our own station in Richland Center. Can you imagine that?
What's happening?
I don't know. We just...
Climb up on the phone pole like Oliver Wendell Douglas did in Green Acres, you know.
That's it. See, you're exactly right. I hate this. This is coming from a guy. I have long said this, and I think you and I share this. We hate technology. We don't hate it, but we are anti-technology. I'm an analog guy living in a digital world.
Exactly. Now, I like some of it, but every time they change, it's not always for the better. You understand?
Exactly.
It's like, okay, this is new and it's glitzy and glamorous, but then I'll be like, but wait, it doesn't do this anymore. You know?
Well, we gave away some Brewer tickets, and the question was, name one of the actors and the stars of the new Barbie movie. And you know who won?
Who?
Dave from Richland Center.
Very good.
From listening to us on WRCE in Richland Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. So a guy from Richland Center could call us, but do you think we can call our own station in Richland Center? No, apparently not.
That's a throwback. When I was growing up, we had the party lines. And,
yes.
You know, it was like long distance to call like a mile away.
Right? And you could listen in, right? You could listen.
Yes.
You get all the gossip of the neighborhood.
At one time, we had five families on the same line. That's no exaggeration. And you'd pick up, you know, so quietly, put your hand over so they wouldn't hear you, so you could listen to the latest gossip that way. That was like an early Facebook or social media, or
right?
Something.
Now, see, that's the kind of social media I can get behind, because it's like hee-haw, right? When they used to say, you know, we don't go around spread rumors, so make sure you listen the first time.
You know what?
Yeah,
I saw that.
Close the first time. That's exactly right. So did you see the new Barbie movie, Todd?
I have not, but Mr. Zommers has.
Yes, I have. It was great.
Is it funny?
He said he gave it a big thumbs up. He said it was for his generation, the Gen Z crowd. I get, and you have daughters and granddaughters. It's very empowering for women, I guess. That's the review from Mr. Zommers.
Well, that's awesome. Now, I go back, way back. My sister had a Barbie doll that looked like Jacqueline Kennedy.
Really?
And she had the hairdo and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so she got a real Barbie doll. Of course, I had a G.I. Joe, but my parents evidently couldn't afford a real G.I. Joe, so at a rummage sale, they bought a Fighting Yank. He was a G.I. Joe knockoff.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't believe he had any clothes, so a neighbor woman knitted him an outfit. So I had the only G.I. Joe that was wearing an Afghan.
Well, you know, it was the new era then. It was anything
yeah,
went.
Exactly
anything went.
Right.
We've left you all of a minute and a half here, or a minute and 40 seconds to answer because of the, I apologize for the phone troubles. But now Madison Magazine came out last week saying that, according to Mattel, Barbie grew up in Willows, plural, Wisconsin. There is no Willows, but Phil, you spent much of your life in Willow, the town of Willow, in Richland County, and Madison Magazine has deemed that is the birthplace of Barbie.
I didn't know that after all these years. Yes, for 12 years I lived in Willow Township, and my house was in Little Willow, which is unofficial.
Yes.
It's like not even unincorporated. But I had no idea that Barbie may have been a neighbor of mine.
Can you imagine? Now, what sort of things would Barbie have done in Willow Township growing up? Probably went to Ithaca High School.
Well, she probably would have done a little trout fishing, maybe.
Right.
I'm trying to think what she would have done. She would have ridden her bike. There's good biking in the area.
Right. Ken might have played baseball for the state championship Bulldogs. You know,
he very likely could. He could have been an all-star at Ithaca. I'm telling you what, he could have been on the math team, forensics, and everything else.
That's right. Ron Donahoe probably signed him up for the math team.
He probably did, or he would have. He'd have been a good locker room guy.
He would have been. Phil, I'm sorry we're out of time, but thank you for joining us. We'll do this again when we have better connections. Phil Nee, live from Barbie's hometown in Willow, Wisconsin. Thanks, Phil. We appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Back with more after this on the other side. We hope. This is Todd Allball, the Todd Allball Show. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer. Welcome in for another half hour of the Todd Allball Show. This half hour, very excited to welcome in our next guest. She is a playwright. She is an author, a writer, a podcaster. She has two great podcasts, Extra Hot Great, and also Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. Love that. Well, love both titles, as a matter of fact. And many more credits we'll talk about as we go along. Sarah D. Bunting joining us live from Brooklyn. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This is super fun.
Well, it's super fun for us as well. We had your co-founder of Television Without Pity, Tara Ariano, on last week. Fantastic guest, as I know you will be as well. Why don't we start there before we get into your personal life? Not too personal, but you're where you started from. But you and Tara created this great site, co-founding a Television Without Pity. We talked a little bit about this, but this was kind of born out of this connection with Dawson's Creek. And as a guy who I am by means no professional critic, I'm just a dude who likes television. And I think the whole concept of this is fantastic and unique. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think that it started when we were both on an internet message board complaining at length about Dawson's Creek's aspirations toward my so-called lifeness, which we thought was really a fantastic, like genuinely fantastic TV show. And that Dawson's Creek was just straining incredibly hard for that kind of lyricism and good, believable dialogue and was just falling on its dupa every episode. So some of our fellow like message board mates said, you know, you guys should start a recap site about Dawson's Creek, possibly hoping to just get us out of the threads because we wouldn't shut up, but possibly because they did want to read our thoughts about that. So that's how that whole project started. And after doing that for a season, we thought this might translate to other shows that we wish were better. So really, when we founded it was about kind of taking TV to task, I guess, or like scolding it a little bit. Why aren't you better? Why aren't you better than this? So that's how that started.
And I'm old enough to, you know, I confess to Tara that my paternal grandmother was a big, you know, Young and the Restless and As the World Turns fan. So I, at some points in my life, I would buy Soap Opera Digest to catch up. But what you guys did is basically it took kind of a version of that and made it an online presence for not just that genre, but television across the board.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we love to tell this story on ourselves that when we were going through the roster of upcoming new shows that on our first season, we looked at the West Wing and we were like, that looks really stupid. Rob Lowe working in the White House. That's not going to last three episodes. Oops. But there were a lot of garbagey shows that only we cared about or that were just C minuses, but were really fun to make fun of. And then as time went on, we started just trying to cover as much as we could, including really good shows, which was kind of a different skill set in terms of the reviews and recapping. The Sopranos versus Dawson's Creek, not a whole lot of overlap there, except that both were presented in English.
I love that. We talked to Tara a little bit. I want to get your take on this, because not only was it a fan-based site, and of course you guys did a fantastic job with it, and then sold it to NBC Universal, went to Bravo, and they messed it up and shut it down, of course, after the founders left. But in its heyday, this was something that was looked at and read by television execs, and the legend is that Alan Sorkin actually took your critique and perhaps wrote a show around some of that. What's your view on that?
Yeah, that was very weird. We just had a sort of running gag about it that he was posting on our forums as someone named, I believe, Benjamin, and we used to joke that there was probably an intern assigned to like unplug his laptop and confiscate it from him when he was kind of reading the comments, uh-huh. which everybody knows you shouldn't do.
Right.
But there definitely was that lemonlyman.com episode of The West Wing, and that he's accusing us of being these massive muumuu wearing parliament chain smoking, mm-hmm. Troglodytes, basically. And it was not a great look for him, but it was a, you know, pretty great look for us, because people yeah. came to check out what was going on at Television Without Pity. And the irony is, we loved the show. Mm-hmm. Our recapper, Deborah, loved the show. She got really into the granular nuts and bolts of, she's Canadian, and she got really into the nuts and bolts of how American government functions. And it was kind of a servicey way of covering it that we were offering, but it came from a real place of fondness and love for the show.
Yeah.
But Sorkin was not trying to hear that, I guess.
But I think it's pretty cool that you and Tara created something where they trusted and respected your critiques enough that they followed you and they took it seriously. And that doesn't happen too often, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And looking back on it, it is kind of in some ways like it happened to someone else. Mm-hmm. Like this person has won many awards and yeah. is a household name, and that he took the time to make up a fake name and come in and point out the things that we might be missing in our critiques. And he wasn't the only one to do that. We had some reality show participants come on the forums and talk to us about stuff. We had some, like Ryan Murphy reached mm-hmm. out to us
wow.
around his very first show, which nobody was really paying that much attention to. It was called Popular. It wasn't terribly popular, but it was trying to do something. We enjoyed it. And our recapper, Amy, was like, you know, this guy's just trying to get publicity. Mm-hmm. Should I bother getting back to him? And I said, why not? So that was our first big get, and we didn't even want it. So look, in a lot of ways, we were idiots, but we worked hard. We had a fantastic staff, so talented. They made us look like geniuses, and occasionally someone who became a big shot later mm-hmm. would stumble across us and reach out. So yeah, it was really something. Sometimes I can't quite believe it.
We're talking with Sarah D. Bunting, also known as SARS Online in the blogosphere. She, along with her co-founder, Tara Ariano, co-founded Television Without Pity. She's also a writer, a playwright, and has written in places or appeared on such shows as MSNBC, in Salon, New York Magazine as well. Sarah, where did you grow up at, and kind of what led you into entertainment or writing? What was that thing that really inspired you to go into what you do today?
Oh, gosh. Well, this isn't actually a very compelling or inspiring story, but I grew up in New Jersey, very nice sort of average suburban upbringing. But my parents, I was the oldest child. So as the oldest child, for me, my parents had a lot of very ambitious oldest child ideas about fruit being nature's candy, and also that I was limited to educational programming only.
Sure.
I was allowed to watch Saturday morning cartoons, but anything else that I wanted to watch had to get through the committee, which meant that I was allowed to watch almost nothing. Right. It was like PBS, Mork and Mindy got passed.
That got
them
through
somehow.
All right.
Sure why.
Yeah.
But like Dukes of Hazzard, man, I had such a crush on John Schneider as a kid. My dad watched an hour of it and was like, I am dumber after I watch this. You're definitely not allowed to watch it. I had to settle for gazing at him on the lunchbox that I was allowed to have. But this forbidden fruit aspect of television absolutely attracted me like a moth to the flame of mediocre TV, which is why Beverly Hills 90210 has been such a big part of my working life. But in terms of becoming a writer, it wasn't exactly a it wasn't a conscious decision. It was just this thing that I could do, sitting in the back of the classroom making jokes. So I just kind of kept doing it. Like my university entrance essay was just like this funny story about trying to throw a surprise party. And my mother's like, I don't think you should be this jokey. And I said, this is the only way I know how to do it. At least I didn't swear in it.
And you went to Princeton, but, did you not?
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't like Todd going to public school here in Wisconsin. I mean, you went to one of those prestigious universities in America and the world, for God's sake.
Well, yes, I did. unfortunately, I wasn't there at the same time as Ted Cruz. So, you know, we try not to talk
really?
About it.
Did you, did you ever meet him?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, right.
No,
Wouldn't it be great if you had some Ted Cruz stories like that?
yeah. But I mean, his roommate went on to become an acclaimed TV writer, and Craig Mazin has told many an embarrassing story on young Ted on social media. Yeah. So we're just going to let Mr. Mazin take care of that, and I'll be relieved that I didn't know him. But even still, my dad sometimes will still ask, like, "Are you sure? Are you sure you never met him and he did something stupid?" I said, "I'm not sure I'd remember anyway."
Or you want to talk about it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one acting like a bonehead at university, certainly. So
in 1997, you founded a Tomato Nation website. People have said it was an advice column through The Vine. Kind of combined a hipper, cooler Dear Abby with Ann Landers for younger people. Was this something that you like studied psychology or anything? But you're just, or was it more like, no, people think I give good advice, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And
see,
it was advice
that.
On everything
real,
from
right?
like, yeah, that it's like, okay, well, I don't know how to fix this like table leg that is too short. Or I read this book when I was a kid. It had a beige cover with blue letters. Does anyone in the readership know what this book might be? There was someone named Tim and I just throw it out to the readership. Or I don't know how to break up with my friend. My mother has a narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, I was pretty careful to say I'm just a poetry major who likes to hear self talk. So don't take this too seriously. Please, you know, please consult professionals. But on the other hand, it was a really sort of web 1.0 community that was a lot of fun. And I tracked down a lot of books from my own youth that I never thought I'd see again. So, you know, the internet as a force for good definitely was my experience through that blog and through fundraisers that I did on that blog for educational charities, and also just like making fun of Girl Scout cookie names and here's this book I read that I thought was stupid. I mean, you know, it was blogging.
I want to pick up on this part about doing good because I love this. I come from an entire family public school educators. 2006, you did a bloggers challenge and you coordinated with donorschoose.org, allowing teachers to bid for private dollars to fund classroom projects. By shaving your head, is this correctly? You raised respectively $30,000, $111,000, and $314,000 from 07 to 09 for public educators. Remarkable.
Yeah, thank you. But I mean, and the shaving my head stunt, quote, only raised $30,000. And now this organization has a much higher profile than it did back then. I think Stephen Colbert like bought every project that was listed on the site for the entire state of South Carolina. I'd have to check that, but I think that's correct. So, you know, I'm just some guy. But I told them, if you can raise $25,000 in a month, I'll shave my head. Mm-hmm. And they did it. They didn't even take that long. It was like 19 days. Wow. And then they just kept fundraising. And then I, you know, made a little video of my brother and future sister-in-law shaving my head and lint rolling my head. I mean, it was a whole thing. And I guess they realized I was serious. So when I asked them to raise six figures, I'm like, well, what else could she do? She's proven she's serious. So we're going to come through with this money for her. But
30 seconds before the break. But this is the good that the online presence, the online world could do. It's not all just about, you know, making fun of people, whatever. If done right, it can have a powerful impact.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think so. I try to be hopeful and optimistic about the internet. It's brought me so many good things in my life. So
mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Sarah D. Bunting is our guest. We're going to take a quick break, going to pay some bills, come back and ask her reflections from being in New York in 9/11 and also what it's like to be a playwright off Broadway. More with Sarah D. Bunting after this. This is the Todd Oswald Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. At the top of the hour, our national and local news, weather, and then 6 after the hour, we have our colleague and friend, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn, direct in after the news at 3. Great program. Don't want to miss it. Great guest with us right now for a Monday. It is Sarah D. Bunting, better known as SARS in the blogosphere and online, joining us live from New York. And she is a writer. She is a critic. She is a podcaster. She does it all, and we're happy to have her along with us. Sarah, as you told folks, grew up in New Jersey or were born there, spend a lot of time in New York. If you don't mind talking about it, it's, you know, I'm 53. I'm of the age where I know exactly where I was and what I was doing in 2001 on 9/11. You mm-hmm. have the unique position of having worked a few blocks from the World Trade Center. Can you give us, I'm just fascinated, all these years later, if you could give us a reflection, if it's not too painful and too personal, what are your reflections you take away from that day, even today, all these years later?
It's not painful, first of all. Mm-hmm. I'm always sort of happy to talk about it because it was an absolutely sui generis event in all of our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. That I think there's a before 9/11 and an after 9/11. But I wasn't usually in that part of town at that time. I was, in fact, living in Toronto, Ontario, and happened to be back and a few blocks away from the World Trade Center when everything went down. And it was just an amazing thing to have witnessed in person. And as horrible as it was and disorienting and frightening as it was, I felt privileged, first of all, because I didn't lose anyone close to me, but also because I was there witnessing it and I was able to process it, I think, in some ways better than people who were watching it from Philadelphia or from Chicago or mm-hmm. from overseas. So there was that part of it, but there was also the fact that the city and then in turn, the rest of the country and the world kind of all became New Yorkers and all joined hands in certain ways to try to move forward from this event that went pear-shaped in terms of international policy. And I won't get into that because I'm not qualified, but just sort of walking out of downtown that day and seeing the number of people that went to their churches, opened the church's doors, started slicing oranges, started putting water in Dixie cups, and started helping people mm-hmm. get where they needed to go, get cleaned up from the dust. I've always tried to take that part with me because so much of it was grim and awful. And there are, of course, lasting health effects from being on or near the pile afterwards. But there were moments of humanity knitting itself back together even 10 minutes after the towers fell that I've always tried to keep with me in terms of not giving up on humanity or the great American experiment. There's again a lot that's gone wrong in the last couple of years, but I try to hold on to those good bits.
I'm sorry. What what was it like from a New Yorker standpoint to watch all of us in other parts of the country, in the Midwest, saying, we want to help you, we want to send people? What was it like being there and seeing this reaction outside of New York?
It was interesting because I think there was and is this this conception of New Yorkers as very rude, brusque, not welcoming. And when you live here and you live here long enough, you realize that there is a sense of neighborliness that might not be immediately evident because people are walking extremely quickly. Yeah. And don't necessarily have time to be friendly in the Midwestern style.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see the, I don't know how you would put it, I guess, cautiousness mm-hmm. with which the rest of the country sort of offered its condolences and support as though we wouldn't accept it and we were too proud. And it's like, we're just people who live in New York and, you know, our city was attacked and we're happy to have this support and we're happy that people come and come to the museum and come to the reflecting pool. Like we're happy. Mm-hmm. We want you to come and understand us and love us, because sometimes the rest of the country is a little, just gets us wrong. I would say a little bit.
Haven't been there a few times, a handful of times. I agree with you. And we certainly talk about things that news of the day, whatnot on this show. But one of the goals of this show is to try to show people how much alike we are and that we're better mm-hmm. when we're unified. And as terrible as that day was, I too try to take that unity that followed away from me as one of the great lessons that we can be better if we want to be.
Yeah. It's, I mean, some days it's not easy to not easy. Sort of keep that front of mind, but yeah, we try.
Not easy. The time always goes too fast. We'd love to have you back if you'd be so gracious. In about 3 minutes that we have left, I want to touch on the writer's strike, the actor's strike right now, from your perspective, being in the industry and in New York. What's your take? We've kind of covered the big issues with AI and pay and whatnot. How long, what's your sense of when is this going to break and how do we resolve this?
I don't really have a sense.
Yeah.
The last writer strike in like about 15 years ago, I sort of had a better sense of conversations that were being had and progress that was being made. But every headline I read now, especially now that SAG is also on strike, is that everybody is dug in and not willing to move and are in fact talking trash about each other to, you know, deadline.com.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, going to be a long fall season of like fugazi right. true crime nonfiction programming, possibly right. generated by AI. I don't know what to tell you. I wish I did.
That's just sad, bad, not glad. You are the co-host of a great podcast called Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. We'd love to have you back to talk about this, because they do a podcast since 2016 with Mark Blankenship, where you take a weekly pop music and you go through every 50 episodes and rank each song on the album. I love this because I'm an album guy still. Whether it's vinyl or if I download something, I listen to the entire album because I think artists intend it that way. A minute left. What's your take on albums versus singles in today's streaming world?
I mean, it's a pleasure to go back and experience albums the way I first came to them in
right?
university,
yeah.
which is all of a piece. And even the sort of meh songs, they're still part of the experience and part of the journey and the terrain of the sound. That's completely not how it's done and how music is received today, but old cranks like us sort of still keep the flame alive by doing these ranking episodes. And we'd love to have you guys along to vote on stuff. The next time we're doing a ranking, come on by.
So it's Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs, correct? And also Extra yes. Hot Great, wherever you find your podcasts. Sarah D. Bunting, SARS Online. Thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. Fantastic. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Oh, gosh, anytime. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much, Sarah. We appreciate you. Stay tuned now as Matt Flynn Direct is next across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.